Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Spectacular success is always preceded by unspectacular preparation. Hi, I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two Playmakers who do prepare. Our first Playmaker is the head of a funky barbecue joint. Our second Playmaker works with the oldest manufacturer of residential range hoods. With us today is the president of a barbecue and blues joint, while our other Playmaker is a general partner and VP of sales of an 80-year-old company. These great Playmakers are Ted Beeman. Ted is president of Bone Daddies, and Blake Woodall. Blake is general partner and VP of sales for Ventahood. And we're going to begin today's show with Blake. Blake Woodall is a general partner and the vice president of sales for Ventahood, founded 80 years ago in 1933. Ventahood is based in Richardson and is the oldest manufacturer of residential range hoods in America. Blake oversees the advertising and marketing programs of the Ventahood brand and its products across North America. They're sold in all 50 states as well as Canada, and each range hood is individually engineered for performance in addition to style. Blake, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, the Ventahood is now in Richardson. It didn't start in Richardson, but would you say it is the oldest or one of the oldest firms now in Richardson?
Yes, we are one of the oldest firms out there. We Texas Instruments, Ventahood, and Collins Radio were the first three major entities in the area that were that helped that whole community develop over the last 50 or 60 years.
Well, we're talking about Richardson. Not everybody's been there, but my guess, because I know where Ventahood is and Collins Radio was, and it must have been just prairie land out there when the business started. Back, was it in the 60s when
yes, Ventahood moved there? Yes, we moved out there in the early 60s. My father decided to take that property, and every Sunday he would, after church, make the family drive out, and it felt like it was forever to get out there.
Middle of nowhere.
We were on country roads and in fields, and then we would come across, and there would be a large construction site, and he would want to review that construction that week before he came back into town to begin his week for in the other manufacturing facility we had, a little more closely related to where we lived.
Well, Central Expressway was there, but LBJ wasn't.
No, that's correct.
And this had to be feel like South Oklahoma as you were driving up there.
Yes, it was quite a distance out there. As a matter of fact, when we built our property there was a big orange sign on top that said Ventahood, and people would tell me that that's how they knew they were back in Dallas from Oklahoma, as they'd see the orange sign on top of Ventahood when they were driving back in.
So you could see it from 75 then? As
yes.
Driving south,
oh,
they
yes.
Could see it to the left.
Oh, yes. We're right there off 75 in Greenville Avenue, just to that location there.
Well, since we're on the history, let's talk more about it, because the company started, what was it, 1933?
Yes, 1933. In the late 20s, there was an inventor who had an idea about ventilation, and a relative of mine, Carr Collins, who was a very philanthropic businessman and prolific. He was someone who, if he saw a great idea, would decide to invest in that. And this inventor came up with this idea, and Carr funded it. And that started the entity. By 1933, they were developing some products. By 1939, it looked like this business was going to work out. And Carr asked his nephew, who happened to be my father, if he would come and review this family partnership, which he did. And then my father spent his life's work, in developing the range hood industry. And Ventahood was our brand.
Well, going a little farther, Carr Collins was the founder, as you were telling me, of Fidelity Union Life Insurance Company.
Yes, he was founder of Fidelity Union Life Insurance Company and many different entities. Carr Collins was so prolific. He was in the radio business. He was in the hotel business. He asked my father, or I guess, told my father, go out and get us into the oil and gas business. So we had a drilling company. Those men in that generation were so inclined towards business. It was remarkable how many assets that we still own that they formed in the early 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Well, I'm guessing it was more like the Wild West back then, where if you were an entrepreneur, you just got your fingers into as many things as you could.
Yeah, it seems so. That's, as I said, they were in insurance, and I think even had some time in rail business. So they were involved in everything.
Well, you were talking to me earlier before we started. You were involved in a few other things, too. How long have you been involved with Vena Hood?
Well, I came out of college, and I recall a discussion with my father about the next phase, my future. And I recall telling him that I thought I'd like to go to business school. And he made a comment, something to this effect, is business school is for bankers. You have a job, come work in a family business and help us build family wealth. And so I came from my undergraduate work straight into Vena Hood. And for about 4 or 5 years, that was where I had my beginning. And then I took a 10-year sabbatical to pursue another interest. And then came back, and since then have been involved for decades with our Range Hood manufacturing entity.
Well, as you mentioned before, there's a number of different entities tied in with Vena Hood, and you are on the board and or work with all of them. Is that correct?
Yes, as I said, and have four brothers. All of us oversee some family partnership. We have a distribution entity, which distributes other appliance manufacturers' products in the Southwest. We have our manufacturing entity, which is for Range Hoods. We have some oil and gas and some real estate. It gets rather complicated on the day. We have one day each month where all family businesses are reviewed by an executive committee in which all of us are brothers. So there's a lot of dynamics going on in that room other than just business.
I would guess if someone got fired, that would be a major milestone for the company.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the Vena Hood as it is right now. You have a special system called the Magic Lung Blower System.
Mm, yes.
Tell us about that.
That's our proprietary technology. The Magic Lung is the name of a centrifugal blower system. Most people inside on most showroom floors in appliance showrooms know the difference of our products than everybody else's. What we like to say, we do it differently than everybody else. Our science, in our opinion, is better than their science. And so this centrifuge is the system that separates grease from vapor. And that centrifugal system and the patents on that is the value of our company, the main asset in our company.
I would assume this is both residential and commercial.
No, we have had a commercial line, but my father said that there was no consistent code situation for all of North America. And so as a North American entity, it was hard to produce a product line that would go into all territories. So most products that are made for the commercial phase of, or part of the business are made out of shops that are local because they know the codes in those territories. We develop product lines for a national distribution. And so it's changing. We may be able to get back into the commercial business, but we're a residential manufacturer of Range Hoods.
Well, if this idea started back, as you said, in the 20s, apparently there was a need for that. What did homes have prior to Vena Hood?
A window.
And that's what that was a ventilation system.
Basically, you opened your window, and if you had a fan, you might put it up by the window to see if you could draw some air out. So, yes, the contaminants and odors and smoke were all inside your home. And it was so this inventor that came up with this idea was really onto something new. We like to tell people these were kind of the iPad. These appliances were the iPads of the day. This was brand new stuff. If you put it in your home, it's going to make your house and your home more convenient and cleaner and all of those benefits.
And on top of that, there was no air conditioning, so you needed to have the window open, if nothing else. Yes. There still had to be a lot of contaminants going in as you were cooking.
Yes, that's correct. So, it was definitely a need and a necessity. And over the years, it has become more of a science. It's developed into a very strategic way of getting odors out of your home, because what we do now is calculate the amount of heat below. Our systems are developed to take the amount of heat that you're producing out of the home and no more. And our canopies are developed for coverage for that, so that they will hold that heat while it is removing it from the home. So it's a scientific or a method that we feel is very important for the home to keep it clean and safe and odor free.
We're going to talk more about the science behind that range hood called Venta Hood. We're speaking with Blake Woodall. Blake is a general partner and VP of sales for Venta Hood. You can check their website out, which will show you everything you want to know about the different types of range hoods available and more at ventahood.com. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We need to take a break. More with Blake Woodall right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Here's Steve Klein, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, with another excerpt from his book.
A number of years ago, I realized I enjoyed playing more than I enjoyed working. But I also realized that playing wouldn't pay the bills or the play. So I decided to take the best parts of playing and add them to the work mix of tracking to at least make working fun. All sports involve numbers and scores, so I developed a tool to make sure that I was having fun with my work and I was tracking my activity to give me the results I wanted. This was my game plan and my secret weapon towards sales success. I realized if I could measure it, I could manage it. I began to keep track of my daily activities and reward myself. The result was the correct, consistent daily activity checklist, or CCDA. Many salespeople generally have no idea how to develop their scorekeeping or to develop a daily plan to organize their sales activity. To help them do this, use the CCDA checklist.
To get more information about Steve's book or to order Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, go to PDCChange.com. That's PDCChange.com. Right now.
KLIF.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. We are speaking with Blake Woodall. Blake is a general partner and vice president of sales for Venta Hood, and you can check their website at ventahood.com. We were speaking with Blake earlier about the beginning of Venta Hood, with the inventor coming up with the idea back in the 20s, and then his dad really getting it going in the 30s. But when the business was in Dallas prior to moving to Richardson, where it's still located, it was an interesting story about how the salespeople would go out and sell, come back and have to produce what they sell, but it was on a dirt floor in Dallas.
Yeah, my father and the two generations before me used to love to talk about how they started the business with very meager means, and that the industry was built on that, and they would talk about a tin building with a dirt floor, and they seemed to be discussing that with such great pride. And for me, it sounded like when your grandfather would say, and we had to walk to school in the rain, you know, and I didn't quite get it. But once I got a leadership role in the company, I realized the pride that they had in what they were building, that every person wants to leave something better than the way they got it. So that was a really great gift to me to understand their pride in that building of that, starting with a tin building and a dirt floor and having to build the business with not very much money. He would say they went door to door and that they would sell the product and then have to go back and build it, which I think is being a little facetious, but I get it. He was saying very difficult times in the early 30s and 40s in building a business in America.
Well, if we're talking about the 30s, we're talking about Depression now. Depression didn't hit Texas quite as bad as other cities, but we're talking about an era where there wasn't a lot of money, and I'm sure there was not a lot of inventory built up. And I can understand the fact that you would sell it, get the money, come back, buy the product or buy the materials, and build the product.
Yes, my mother used to laugh and say that my father would walk to the bank because he didn't want to pay the 25 cents to get on the toll car. And that he, on the way back, he would take some of the money, on the way, he would pay for the motors and then go down and make the rest of the deposit at the bank. And then on the way back would take the delivery of the motors back to the warehouse. So it was a very strategic move back in that era because they didn't have a lot of money and they didn't have a lot of assets. So their banking was done personally.
Apparently, the business has done well since the 30s because you have employees that have stayed with you a long time. And reading an article from the Dallas Business Journal, I think your dad was quoted about the fact that you have a big secret is your employees, and you have several people that work there for 25 to 30 years.
Yes, we have a Hall of Fame. If you give us 20 years of your life, my family wants to designate that. And we have a ring that I understand is made by the same company that makes the Olympic gold medal. And we pass that to you. But our hope is that nobody stays for a piece of jewelry. Our hope is that people stay because of the way they're treated. My family has always thought of the people with whom we work as being the greatest asset, the most valued asset in the entity. We certainly see our patents and we see our all of our machinery and our equipment as valuable, but not valuable like the people that work with us. And some have stayed for 20, 30, and even 40 years. And that speaks highly to me, to that regard, the integrity that we see in these people. And so we solicit them to stay. And as I said, value them highly.
Reminds me of what Andrew Carnegie said one time. He said, you can burn down my buildings and I'll be out of business for a short time, but I still have my people. My people will put everything back together and we'll be back in business in no time.
Yes, I will say that if we can say one thing, if we can compliment ourselves as a family, it is that we've surrounded ourselves with some really smart people. When I first came to the company, there was a man named Ed Gober, and he just brought great integrity to the company. And as I moved on into other departments, there was a man named Richard Amazon, who was a mathematician and gave me great insight about how systems work. And now today we have a director of sales, Mark Klein, who is the most remarkable. He's a superhero in stamina. He is remarkable. And we have a plant manager who has been working in this industry for 50 years in ventilation alone. So he's worked with my family and with other entities. So he's certainly the elite in the category. So we, as I said, have been blessed with some really smart and capable people as we go. And even today, our new CFO, our financial person, has brought in some new systematics in which we're very appreciative. So as time goes on, we seem to be attracting more and more smart people. And for that, I'm very thankful.
Speaking of employees, you are an employee of the company, but you took, as you mentioned before, a sabbatical, and you started a club. That is coming up back in history right now via a movie. So let's talk about that. Tell us about it.
Yes, I'm the owner of the Stark Club. It was a venture that, when I was fairly young, I thought would be a category in which I'd like to see and bring to Dallas an international sort of feel. And so I invited a man named Philippe Stark to come to America and live at my home. And Stevie Nicks became a partner. She was a rock and roll star with Fleetwood Mac and was coming off of that. And there were different people from around the world that I thought would be, it would be nice to see how we could develop a project. and it kicked in. We just had one of the most remarkable eras. I expected that it would be known nationally. I didn't expect that it would be known internationally. And so, but all these clubs have their era. So in the 80s, we were the leading nightclub in the world. Then it went away. My worldview changed. I spent the last 25 years working with family business. And then a few years ago, Peter Jennings' office called me and asked me if I would make a discussion with him about the Stark Club. And it was before his death. And I was telling him that I'd be happy to tell him everything he wants to know about clubs in the 80s, but I could not find a nightclub today. I just am not in that category, and that's not what I'm looking at any longer for business. And he, so he went ahead and did the story on ABC, and that kicked in on the internet. And so three film companies have called me in the last couple of years, and I made a choice of a company called M3 Films to document it, and they have been remarkable to work with. What a great team. They remind me of myself and the team in which I was working with when we were doing the Stark Club. They're creative, they're smart, they're fun. So it's just been a great treat to have that as a historical event and for it to be documented.
Which proves we don't ever leave our past. Our past is always there.
Well said.
And it's coming back to you again. Before we finish, you do have another part of Ventahood, which is called Milestone Distributors.
Yes.
Tell us about how, that and how it ties in with Ventahood.
Yes, and my family has been involved in the appliance business for many, many years in many different ways. My mother was a Jarrell, so there's the Jarrell company was on Central Expressway. We had the Ventahood
brand. That was a
brand fixture
right there on Central, yeah.
That's right, and we had the Ventahood brand and our manufacturing out in Richardson. Many years ago, about 20 or 25 years ago, a man out of Mississippi came and asked us, he said he was going to make a range for the marketplace. It was going to be like a commercial range. And he was starting a company called the Viking Range Corporation. And he asked if we would make a range hood for him. And that we did that, put the Viking name on it. And that relationship developed it into a distribution entity alongside the Viking Range Corporation. And so all of these different entities are involved in appliances. And so I like to tell people at one time, almost every refrigerator range or range hood that you bought in the Dallas or the state of Texas, some would all got a little cut out of. So
there you go.
Great era.
And if you want to check it out, in addition to ventahood.com, you can go to milestoneappliance.com to see what they have to offer. Blake, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting me.
We were glad to have you here. Blake Woodall, a general partner and VP of sales at Ventahood, an 80-year-old company. And again, ventahood.com and Milestone Distributors or MilestoneAppliance.com. Don't go away because we have another guest. This guest is the president of Bone Daddies. His name is Ted Beeman. We're going to talk all about Bone Daddies, what they have there, what they serve, a little bit of the history. When we come back, my name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Talk to you right after this.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
At the end of a full day, you're looking to get caught up on what went on while you worked hard for the money. At KLIF News and Information 570, we're right there with you. That's why Kirk Gilchrist and the News and Information in the Afternoon team are checking all their resources and contacts every day to make sure we're giving you what you need to stay informed on your way home. News and Information in the Afternoon starts each weekday at 3. No matter when you're heading home in the afternoon, we can fill up that information inbox for you. News and Information 570 KLIF.
One person killed in the crash of a private jet at the Aspen, Colorado airport.
Sheriff's officials say the plane crashed at about 12:23 p.m. Sunday afternoon. There were three people on board, they believe. One of them is dead. One has major to severe injuries. Another has moderate to minor injuries. The FAA says the plane appears to be a Bombardier Challenger 600 coming from Tucson to Aspen. It crashed while attempting to land. Clayton Sandell, ABC News, Denver.
Snow, ice, and wind are making for treacherous travel. Roughly 2,500 flights today have been canceled, more than half of them at Chicago's O'Hare. Driving conditions dangerous from the Dakotas to Delaware, with particularly dangerous conditions in the Midwest. In Iraq, 22 soldiers and 12 civilians have been killed in fighting between Iraqi soldiers and al-Qaeda militants who've overrun Fallujah and another key city in Anbar province. No word on how many al-Qaeda were killed. A series of bombings in Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad have left at least 20 people dead. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
All aboard for the Trains at North Park, presented by Bank of Texas, the most elaborate miniature toy train exhibit this holiday season. See cityscapes with hot air balloons in Albuquerque, the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge in Dallas, and New York City's Union Station. Open daily, the exhibit rolls from November 23rd through January 5th at North Park Center on Level 2. Tickets are just $6 for adults and $3 for children. Proceeds benefit the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
Attention salespeople, how would you like to earn four times the money in one-fourth the time? How would you like to receive up to 400 referrals each month? How about learning the CCDA activity system to double your sales almost overnight? Would you like to have a follow-up system guaranteed to produce results? If you answered yes, then get Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, written by Steve Klein today, for these incredible sales success tips and hundreds more. Go to pdcchange.com to purchase Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes and buy one today for increased sales success. That's pdcchange.com.
This is Tom Caulfield.
And Sean Manning of the Trader's Path Radio Show, sponsored by the Online Trading Academy of Dallas.
We invite you to listen to our show this Saturday from 5 to 6 on 570 KLIF.
Where you will learn key strategies to put money in your pocket the very next week, regardless of market direction.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein. Our second guest is the president of Bone Daddy's House of Smoke, Ted Beeman. With more than 24 years in the restaurant industry, Ted Beeman is president of Bone Daddy's House of Smoke, which is a funky Texas barbecue joint. As president, Ted has developed strategic plans for selecting new markets and expansion and is currently working to open Bone Daddy's second Houston location, which we're going to talk about in a few moments. Ted, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, you've spent most of your career in the restaurant business. We're going to talk about your progression in that in just a few moments, primarily in the financial area. How did you end up with Bone Daddy's and then actually becoming president of Bone Daddy's?
Well, I was coming off an assignment with another restaurant company in the Dallas area and had gotten laid off there, actually, because they were looking to go in a different direction, and was asking myself what I really wanted to do and what skills that I had. And I had around 20 years in the restaurant business, and I had a master's degree that I'd earned and some good contacts in banking and finance and other industries like that. And thought that it might be kind of interesting to start my own business where I took my skills and did almost a timeshare program, if you will. There's some really large companies that are well known that do that, but there's nobody that really deals with that small independent operator. And I've always liked being close to the business. That goes back from years and years when I first broke into it. And so started talking to a couple of different people, and through friend of a friend, ended up getting introduced to Mike Leatherwood, who's the founder of Bone Daddy's and Razoo's and some other concepts, and kind of pitched my idea to him this is where I think I can really help you and some things that I can do to try and make your business stronger. And through a couple of conversations, he ended up saying, well, why don't you just come work for me full time? And of course, I said no immediately because I try and turn down good opportunities whenever possible. And
so, as we all do.
Yeah. And so through two or three conversations with Mike, he was able to explain to me what his vision was, that he was divesting of certain assets and was needing to really gear up the growth for Bone Daddies. And you know, after talking to my wife about it, we thought, you know, this seems like a good opportunity, probably something that I won't be doing really long because of the size of the company, but could be fun and would be a really good, you know, experience for me. And here we are almost 5 years later, and through working with Mike and hopefully proving to him and the team that, you know, I am capable of helping them grow, I was recently named president about 3 months ago.
Congratulations. This couldn't have been, the company couldn't have been that large at the time because the original Bone Daddies, which is still there at Central and I guess the southwest corner of Central and Spring Valley, opened in January of 2000.
Correct.
So there couldn't have been more than a handful of restaurants back then.
Yeah, when I was talking to Mike, we had just opened up the fourth location, which is in Arlington over at the Highlands, which is a really great development. And so they had four at the time that had just opened and was looking for additional growth. And really, more than just growth, it was how do we grow in the correct way? How do we keep the culture of the restaurants? Because the culture of Bone Daddies is extremely unique. And it's really important to our future development. So a lot of people could come in and talk about how to grow quickly, but what we wanted to do is we wanted to grow in a systematic way that allowed us to keep the culture as we added more locations.
And the culture is very important to your organization, too, as it is with a lot of barbecue places, and most of them don't fit really in the same genre as you. And it's, explain to people who haven't been to Bone Daddies, really the difference between Bone Daddies and the push your tray type of barbecue restaurant that many people are familiar with.
Sure. So Bone Daddies is a full service restaurant, first and foremost. So we've got servers that will come to your table, take your drink orders. We've got a full bar. You know, it is truly a full service restaurant. We have absolutely fantastic barbecue that we smoke in-house every day. The brisket is smoked for 10 to 12 hours. The pork is smoked for 7 hours. Beer can chicken's marinated overnight. So, you know, it's true, true barbecue. It's not, you know, shortcuts and buying stuff, you know, off the grocery store shelf and then just heating it up. But beyond that and the high quality of the food, there's also the service component and element. So, you know, I may go to a push your tray barbecue restaurant and I just kind of go through there and they scoop something and dump it on my plate and then I pay and I go sit down. Bone Daddies also has, you know, an element to it. We do have an all-female wait staff and they are really engaged with the customer experience and trying to make that customer feel special while they're there. We like to say that at Bone Daddies, we are always a yes. And so no matter what question you can come up with, as long as it is in good taste, we will find a way to say a yes to that. And so that involves doing some really unique things. Sometimes we leave our building to go and get food that we don't normally carry in order to make that guest feel special and feel like they really had a unique experience. But if it's something that we can do that separates us from another restaurant, that's something that we think is worthwhile.
As we were talking before we started, experience is what I work with my clients on. We're really talking about the Nordstrom's concept when you talk about that. I really call it Jamaican selling. No problem, man.
Exactly.
If you want something, we'll take care of it for you. And I want to talk more about the specific culture and exactly what you do, and you have a specific elevator pitch, which we'll talk about. But Mike Leatherwood is the owner, founder, and CEO of Bone Daddies. But there's a story that goes along with Bone Daddies in terms of how it was started, and I was going to read that story, but in talking to you before we started, you did it much more effectively. So tell us what the story is behind the beginning of Bone Daddies.
Well, the tale of Bone Daddies differs depending upon who's telling the story. So I like my version because I like to put a little bit more color into it. But Bone Daddy is actually a real person. And so Bone Daddy grew up in Mississippi and his parents owned a salvage yard. And so they had primarily cars there, but they had, you know, some other things as well. Junkyard, if you will, kind of picture that in old rural Mississippi. And what they did is on the weekends, they would barbecue. And as he grew up, he really found that he had more of a passion for the barbecue than the salvage business. So he took the front of an old Chevy car and he turned that into a grill. And on nights and weekends, he'd bring all his friends over. And over time, as his parents moved out of the business, he realized he was making more money from the barbecue than he was from the salvage business. So he took all the tools that he had there. He took the old cars and the things, and he created a space where he could have people come in full time, day and night, and just eat his fantastic barbecue. And that's the genesis for Bone Daddy's.
Yeah, I can almost see that as a beginning or the intro of a movie that's coming out about Bone Daddy. But you have an interesting elevator pitch. Bone Daddy's is a funky barbecue joint filled with smoking hot women, serving killer food, ice cold beer, and delivering a can't get it anywhere else experience. You reflected on that a few moments ago with the it's always a yes, we'll take care of it for you. Mm-hmm. Was that in Mike's head prior to starting Bone Daddy's? Obviously, he had other concepts too, like Razoo's, but was that something he had in his head in terms of how he was going to take care of customers when the stores opened?
No, it really wasn't. When Mike opened up Bone Daddy's, what it was really about was the food. A lot of the recipes that we use today are recipes that Mike actually grew up with. His dad would cook, and they would do the macaroni and cheese and the beans and, you know, the brisket and all that kind of stuff on the weekends and in the backyard. And so he always wanted to get into a barbecue restaurant, and this was really his first opportunity to do that. The culture of the company has evolved over time, and it's, you know, while it's always been very experience-oriented and, you know, focused on delivering to the customer, we continually look for ways to deliver that in a better way that's more relevant, not only to the customers, but also to the employees. Because at the end of the day, we've got 500 plus employees now working across 6 restaurants. And so myself or Mike or anybody, we can't be at every customer experience. So we have to have a way to make sure that our employees understand what we're trying to deliver so that they will then go out and do it on their own. And Mike's been really successful, and I think we're doing a good job of keeping that culture alive.
Well, we just talked about the part of the culture, which is the answer is yes.
Yes.
Which is the most important. And there are very, very few restaurants, there are very few companies whose philosophy is the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Most of them is the answer is no. And we go from there, which is why most people don't frequent those businesses.
That's
again.
That's right.
We also talked a little bit about the we're going to talk more about the food. And you have the beer. You mentioned the women. And we're going to talk about the women and their outfits, too. But we need to take a break. We are speaking with Ted Beeman. Ted is the president of Bone Daddy's House of Smoke. And if you haven't been to Bone Daddy's, you can go to bonedaddies.com and see some delicious ribs on the homepage. They also have a number of other items on their menu, which we're going to talk about when we come back. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Back with more with Ted and Bone Daddy's right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530. 800-467-7530.
Here's Steve Klein, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, with another excerpt from his book.
Most salespeople have CDA, consistent daily activity, but it isn't necessarily correct daily activity. No matter what we do for a living, we all eventually get into a groove, but that groove isn't necessarily planned. We begin to get off track by letting things we have no control over get in our way. We're no longer in control of ourselves. Everything and everyone else is now controlling us. Don't let this continue to happen to you. Take your life back. Your first step toward getting back on track is to determine what results you want. These results will control your behavior, which in turn affects your attitude, which allows outside information to impact you. If you first decide what results you want in your life, or at least through next year, then you can control what information affects your attitude and behavior to get the results you've been focused on. Information in will control your attitudes, which controls your behavior and gives you your results.
To get more information about Steve's book or to order Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, go to PDCChange.com. That's PDCChange.com right now.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. We're speaking with Ted Beeman. Ted is the president of Bone Daddies, and Bone Daddies is House of Smoke. It's a place to go to really have an experience. And again, I'm going to read this kind of an elevator pitch. I'm going to ask Ted a few more questions about it. Bone Daddies is a funky barbecue joint filled with smoking hot women, serving killer food, ice cold beer, and delivering a can't get it anywhere else experience. We're going to talk about the menu in just a moment. Let's talk about the hot women serving killer food. Tell us about how that evolved, the outfits they wear, and how you fit in with other restaurants of a similar genre.
Well, the joke is that the reason we have an all-female wait staff is because when Mike first opened up Bone Daddies, he wasn't entirely confident in the barbecue, and he wanted something to distract the customers while they were sitting there, and he was trying to figure it out.
Great idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, but it's a fun little tale that we like to tell inside the company. You know, over the years, we really have taken a look at the all-female wait staff concept to understand if that's important. Is that integral to the business and who we are? And what we've learned is that it absolutely is. There is a significant segment of our customer base that coming in and having a pretty girl wait on them is a big deal to them. And so that's absolutely what they want to see. Now, our concern with that is that we want to make sure that we're doing it in the right way, that we're not trying to take advantage of anybody. We're not trying to, just compete on the basis of we can put a girl out there in the least amount of clothes possible. So over the years, there's been more and more restaurants that have opened up with all-female wait staffs, and so some of them will shortcut the business, and the business is primarily the food, and it's the experience beyond that. And so we choose not to shortcut the experience. So that's why that elevator pitch is so important to us, because it keeps us focused on we're an all-of-the-above concept. It's about the women, absolutely. It's about the food, absolutely. It's about the can't-get-it-anywhere-else experience, absolutely. All of the above is necessary in order for us to be successful, and we won't compromise on any of those things.
I can think of a few other restaurants that use the all-women wait staff. Specifically, they're in the category of restaurants. Mm-hmm. The food is okay, but I think the attraction is simply the women. That's not the case at Bone Daddies. That's a part of your the whole experience when you go to Bone Daddies. But let's talk about the menu. You were talking a little bit about that, and I believe I read someplace that, as you mentioned, the recipes were family recipes, mm-hmm. and that Mike's was his mother would come to a restaurant and let him know if it wasn't up to snuff based on her style. But what do you serve at Bone Daddies?
We serve really all the barbecue that you could imagine. So we smoke our brisket in-house. Like I said, it's about a 10 to 12 hour process. Pork, turkey, sausage, chicken wings, anything that you can put in a pit and smoke, we're probably going to figure out a way to do that. Some of our really popular items, we've got a beer can chicken, which is a whole chicken. So it's about a 3-pound bird, and we marinate it for 24 hours in beer, and then we season it and we smoke it in the pit for about an hour and a half or so. We do a sandwich called the Flying Pig Sandwich, which is every part of the pig put on one sandwich. So it's got bacon, it's got ham, it's got sausage, it's got pulled pork, all on the same sandwich. And it's a really popular seller.
Does it oink?
It does not, but you may after you eat it.
I can imagine that with as much as that is, is on there.
And then we also have beyond the barbecue, we do have salads, we do have hamburgers, we do have steaks, ribs, of course. And then one of the things that we're really proud of is our side dishes, because all of our side items are made in-house from scratch every day. We actually smoke our beans, so we don't just give you a scoop of pinto beans. We put in brisket and pork that we had smoked previously, mix that in, and we put the beans in the smoker for about an hour and a half to finish those off. Macaroni and cheese has more cheese in it than you can possibly imagine. Everything in the restaurant is made fresh, and it's just really high-quality product.
You didn't mention one aspect that some people may be listening for, and that's beer. So you do have the beer, too, a nice ice-cold beer.
Absolutely.
Available with the meal.
Yeah, we believe that beer is very important to the barbecue experience and certainly what we're trying to offer. We don't have the most draft beers, but we make sure that when we do offer you a draft beer that it is going to be ice cold. The mugs come out, they're nice and frosty. And, you know, we were talking about I can't get it anywhere else experience earlier. One of the things that we have started doing recently in our restaurants is, you know, you order, say, a 22-ounce beer and you're enjoying that with your meal. You may get halfway done with that, and, you know, the glass is no longer frosty. So what we'll do is now we'll have a lot of the girls will just get an ice-cold mug from the back, and they'll come out, and they'll pour the rest of your beer into that ice-cold mug, which allows you to enjoy a cold beer just a little bit longer.
Going back to your culture, and I know you want to talk more about that, when I work with companies that have a no-problem attitude, the answer is always yes. What's interesting is they rarely have problems. I mean, they're offering, we're promising you that it's going to be a great experience. And because they promise you that, it rarely is a poor experience.
Right.
My guess is that's your situation at Bone Daddy's too. When people come in, they are going to get a great experience. If there's any little minor problem, it's fixed and it's taken care of immediately.
Well, it's certainly what we aspire to. One of the interesting things about Bone Daddy's is we don't actually hire employees. Employees choose to come work for us. So we go through the process of interviewing somebody and finding out if we think they'll be a good fit. And if we think they are, we invite them to what we call a welcoming, which is where we get to share the philosophy of the company with them. And if you want to play on the Bone Daddy's team, this is what's expected. And we talk to them about the fact that we're fun and we're welcoming and we are a yes and the various things that make up our culture. But we don't tell them what to do. We don't tell them, you know, to be welcoming, you do this. What we say is, if you were going to have a party at your house and you wanted people to feel welcome, what kinds of things would you do? And they then tell us what is welcoming to them. And we say, great, we have a party every day at our restaurant, one at lunch and one at dinner. So just do those same kinds of things that you would to welcome your guest. So now we've got those hourly employees that are making the decisions based upon what they already know how to do. And 99 times out of 100, they're going to make a better decision than we would anyway.
You've empowered those employees to be engaged with the customers. You have engaged employees. You'll have engaged customers, which brings back again to Nordstrom's. They don't have many rules there. And one of the only rules they have is take care of the customer.
Right.
And that's all you're telling your employees. Take care of the customer, whatever it takes.
Yes.
Do what you have to do.
We have one rule at Bone Daddy's. It is be nice or leave. So if you're a customer, if you're an employee, it doesn't matter who you are, we expect you to be nice. And if you're not nice, we're going to show you out the door. Other than that, everything else is what the customer is looking for and what it does, what it means to take great care of our employees.
Similar to Ritz-Carlton, their theme is ladies and gentlemen taking care of ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And if the ladies and gentlemen that they're taking care of don't do what they need to do for the employees, they ask them to leave.
Absolutely.
Or find a place for them to go. Well, your job as president, you've only had been president for a very short time, though.
Yes.
you have the culture ingrained into you because you've been there for almost 5 years. What do you do? What are you doing? What are you attempting to accomplish at Bone Daddy's?
Well, primarily I see my job as being that of communication and putting people in a position to be successful. We are extremely fortunate to have some really talented people working for us and people who want to grow and people want to take on more responsibility. So my job is really to talk to them, find out what their passion is and where their future lies in their eyes, and then help put them in a position where they can take advantage of that. And then through that, as a company, opportunities will come up. We'll have an opportunity for additional restaurants. We'll have an opportunity for people to take on more responsibility. We'll have all kinds of opportunities that will be beneficial to us as a company and to the individuals who work as part of it.
Well, let's talk about the specific restaurants you have, which ties in with what you just mentioned. Tell us where the Bone Daddies are right now, and then tell us about your future expansion.
Great. We've got six restaurants currently. We've got four in the DFW area. So there's the original at 75 in Spring Valley in Dallas. We've got our newest DFW location, which is Plano, up just north of Parker by the Cinemark. We've got the Grapevine location, which is out at 114 in William D. Tate. And then I mentioned Arlington earlier, which is at I-20 in the Highlands. We have a restaurant in Austin, which is the second oldest Bone Daddy's. It opened up in 2001, and that's on 183 on the north side of town. And then we just moved into the Houston market at the beginning of this past year, and it was our first restaurant down there. It's in Webster, so right where NASA is. And it was something that we've been long hoping for, to break into that market. People have been driving up from Houston to go to Bone Daddy's and saying, when are you going to open up down here? So our goal now is to develop more restaurants in the Houston market, certainly. We have an opportunity in Willowbrook, which is on the northwest side of town. We're going to convert an old restaurant, a Mexican restaurant that didn't make it. And that's going to be a really exciting opportunity for us. And then we're continuing to look for more restaurants in Houston. But I certainly wouldn't shy away from opening up something else in the DFW market.
Sounds like you're going to be spending a little more time south of Dallas working, getting those all open. So if you say Webster, that means it's probably halfway between Houston and Galveston.
Exactly, yes.
I have a friend that lives in Dickinson. I will let him know that so he can spend some money over there.
We've been open since January, so hopefully he's found his way in so far. But if not, definitely send him our way.
I'll make sure he gets there. Ted, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Ted Beeman, president, Bone Daddy's House of Smoke. And if you're not familiar with Bone Daddy's, go to bonedaddies.com and you'll see everything you need to know about Bone Daddy's. You'll see some of the wait staff, the female wait staff, the food, locations, and some fun stuff too, and everything you can learn about Bone Daddy's. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Please check our website out, playmakerstalkshow.com. You'll see where the current guests are. You'll see the past guests. Go to the show archive. You can hear any of the past shows on our site. Again, that's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll see you again next week.
All aboard for the Trains at North Park, presented by Bank of Texas, the most elaborate miniature toy train exhibit this holiday season. See cityscapes with hot air balloons in Albuquerque, the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge in Dallas, and New York City's Union Station. Open daily, the exhibit rolls from November 23rd through January 5th at North Park Center on Level 2. Tickets are just $6 for adults and $3 for children. Proceeds benefit the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
Attention salespeople. How would you like to earn four times the money in one-fourth the time? How would you like to receive up to 400 referrals each month? How about learning the CCDA activity system to double your sales almost overnight? Would you like to have a follow-up system guaranteed to produce results? If you answered yes, then get Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, written by Steve Klein today, for these incredible sales success tips and hundreds more. Go to pdcchange.com to purchase Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes and buy one today for increased sales success. That's pdcchange.com.
Are you living with pain, joint pain, headaches, muscle aches, back aches? I was. I'm Barry Yarconi, CEO of Vinoprin. For me, it was pain from a nasty fall, and I wanted safe, fast relief. That's when I discovered the extraordinary pain relief benefits of hops, the same plant used to flavor beer. I was stunned by how fast it worked, so we created all-natural Vinoprin, made with no harmful chemicals and backed by 15 years of research. It works for you in just 1 hour, not days or weeks. Find out how well Vinoprin relieves your pain for free. Call 800-300-1062 in the next 10 minutes for a free sample pack. There are no tricks or gimmicks, no obligation, no automatic shipments. Just $1 covers the postage, and the Vinoprin is free. This is a limited-time offer, so call 800-300-1062. That's 800-300-1062. Or visit Vinoprin.com today. That's Vinoprin.com.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information.